A drifting boat without some kind of an anchor is apt to get into a place that could cause serious problems. We people also need an anchor for our lives as well. That anchor is an anchor for the soul, and that's the topic of this week's program from Birds of Life. Brother Johnson's sermon will be about this. I'm sure that you will be challenged and blessed. You are listening to the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers sponsor our programs so that we can tell you and others about Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. We now present singing about Jesus. Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you with thanksgiving for the great love that you have for us. You anchor our souls in the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping us secure in your love. Please help our listeners as they experience the words of this program. Bless them with understanding and convictions that are needed. We also pray that you will meet physical needs and give peace. Bless each Christian who is facing persecution, so that Satan can be resisted and faith strengthened. When your appointed time comes, we ask that you will take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. And when
Now, Brother David Johnson will speak to us about the anchor for the soul.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson, Anchor for the Soul. The text, Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 4. Listen to the Word of God. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves, and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all of the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. This is the Word of God. I remember reading years ago somewhere about a Christian family with a Christian father who had a family of 10. They were prosperous financially. They had 8 growing children, and the whole family was content. And they had a lot of things. They were well off, a lot of stuff. However, Dad felt a strong calling of the Lord to go into full-time ministry. And so, after much prayer and conversation with his wife, he called a family meeting for family feedback. Now, one of the main issues was the family income would have to be slashed by 75%. That is, a family of 10 was going to have to live on only 25%, or 1/4 of their current income, with 0 benefits, none, nada, niet. Let's put ourselves there. Dad has a possible major change of career with significantly less income, which is going to impact the family lifestyle. Much less eating out, much less going out to movies, fewer name-brand clothes, less games and gadgets and gifts. And the vacations may only be to church camp or Bible camp, and on it goes. Moreover, the family may have to pick up roots, may have to leave home, school, friends, relocate. What would be your reaction? Would it be, forget it? Or would you step out in faith and trust the Lord? Trust Dad? Or would you throw a tantrum? Eventually, this Christian family's reaction and outcome could be summed up like this. Dad, you've never failed us yet. We know we can count on you, and the Lord will take care of us. We want what you want if the Lord is calling you. This family was unified behind Dad because Dad had already proven he was trustworthy. Their father, the head of their household, was their anchor, solid, stable, steady. An anchor that was not perfect, but proven, able to keep the family from drifting apart and with happiness and harmony in the Lord as Christians. Certainly as Christians, as parents, and especially for Christian fathers as the usual head of households, according to Scripture, we need to strive as fathers to be an anchor to our families. First, vertically toward God, and then secondly, horizontally toward our whole family, our biological family, our church family, and the family of mankind. As Christians, our anchor needs to be tethered to our almighty anchor in heaven. Because even the most stable, sturdy anchor on earth can still hit the rocks of this life and be set adrift. Consider the words in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, where the Hebrew writer wrote, We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Our hope here, in this context, is fulfillment of all of God's salvation precious promises to us. Regardless of the reefs and the rocks that threaten us, in Christ, we remain secure, safe, saved, in spite of our troubles in this life. And through persevering faith in the Lord, we are anchored. It's the anchor of our souls. Faith. Faith as a relationship in Christ, in the Lord, in God. And the storms of this life cannot shake or swamp our salvation in Christ Jesus as we persevere. Like an anchor holding a ship safely in position, our faith, our hope in Christ, guarantees our position in Christ as a son or a daughter in God's family. As Christians, and especially fathers as head of households, we all need to strive to forge the steel of our inner anchors daily before the Lord and our families, especially young families where little eyes and ears are watching and listening. They may grow up in the Lord. There are certainly many challenges. And so we should ask ourselves, are we the spiritual anchors we should be? In doctrine, but also in behavior, in the Scriptures, in prayer, in worship, in witness, in work for the Lord as we wait for His return? Are we the loving anchors that we should be? By putting the Lord first and others next and ourselves last. As fathers, part of our anchorage is to provide homes that are more of a refuge from the world rather than a riot like the world. But our anchor must be in Christ by the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God. No matter how steeled our anchors are, we cannot go it alone, relying solely on our own abilities or resources. Our anchors must, as it were, enter the inner sanctuary, behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. We must be connected by an anchor of faith, persevering faith in Him, always. Jesus Christ is our immortal, immovable, supreme anchor of our souls. Even Jesus Christ, in His humanity, was securely anchored to His Father in heaven while He was on earth. Because it also needs to be an obedient faith anchor. He's Savior, but He also must be Lord, Master, the anchor of our souls. Now let's consider a case study in fatherhood. One who learned to be a proven anchor to his family. I'm speaking of Jacob, with 12 sons and at least one daughter. And he even had four wives, a huge household. Imagine four sets of in-laws. Talk about needing to be an anchor. Today, we need steel-toed boots sometimes to be the anchor that we need to be in this fast-paced world and this crooked generation that we live in the world. Because we're really going to get stepped on. There are many challenges ahead. But let's look at a snapshot from the past, a picture from Genesis chapter 35 and verses 1 through 4 of a real family and a real anchor as he was tethered to Yahweh, to God, to his Lord. In verse 1, God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel, settle there, build an altar." Jacob had to relocate and take his entire family, which was rather large, and follow God's instructions, which included to honor, to pay homage through worship. Now, what's the point? God was testing, was forging Jacob's anchor, his anchor of faith, his anchor of obedience. And today, God still tests our inner steel through his word, by his spirit, through the myriad of experiences and trials that we go through. And then also, we're tested by other people in the church and outside the church. And all the challenges that we have in the 21st century, in the so-called post-Christian times that we live in. But God is always at work. And we need to be sensitive to his promptings, to his leadings. And today in the church, as born-again baptized believers, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have even greater intimacy and closeness with the Godhead through the indwelling Holy Spirit and the fillings, the controlling of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we allow him to control us, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, in our submission and surrender to the Holy Spirit. God is active in our lives. And he desires to be our guide, to lead us, to direct us. And yet we can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit within us, in our minds, in our thinking, in our hearts, and need to choose to be guided, not to grieve God within us. In verse 2, Jacob said to his household, "Get rid of the foreign gods. Purify yourselves." Notice that as father, Jacob was the head of his household. He was in control. He was the anchor. And today, fathers, parents need to be leaders spiritually also. And if there is no father, as is often the case, then mother needs to do it, or whoever the guardian or head of the household is. We need to be leaders spiritually also. Today, there are foreign gods. There are impurities that abound. There is the occult. There are the things of demons. There are the impurities of pornography and all kinds of indecency and impurity. For example, on CDs and DVDs and MTVs. And ears and eyes and hearts are taking all of this in. That which is impure, ungodly, foreign to God's kingdom, that is indecent, needs to be gotten rid of. It will rust our steel. It can set our anchors adrift. It can dislodge our anchors to where we break fellowship with God. We must not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Then in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 3, it says, "Jacob said to his family, 'Let us go up to Bethel. I will build an altar to God, who has been with me wherever I have gone.'" Notice that Jacob, as father, led the entire family. And that is an example to us. Fathers need to be the leaders, including the spiritual leaders in our families today, as Scripture instructs us. If there is a father, he needs to be the head of the household. And here Jacob led his entire family to worship. And certainly fathers need to set that example in worship. And Jacob said, "I will build an altar." Father took the lead. He set the example. How are our family altars today? With fathers taking the lead in prayer, in searching, studying the Scriptures, in worship, and father Jacob acknowledged God, who was with him, who had not forsaken him, who had always been with him. And Jacob acknowledged that it was not just his abilities or achievements, but God working. God is always at work. And then lastly, in verse 4, it says, "So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods." Notice that Jacob was the leader of the family, and he was respected. They listened to him. He was a proven anchor. The family did not rebel. They did not riot. They respected and obeyed father. They respected Jacob. Why? Obviously, because he was already a proven anchor of stability, solid, steady in his faith. Yes, he'd had lapses in the past, but he had grown, he had matured. He was steady in his faith in the Lord. Certainly, Jacob was not perfect, but he was proven. He was not rust. He was steeled in his anchor. We need more Jacobs who have steeled their anchors, tethered to the Lord. May this be true of our families, certainly in Christ Jesus.
Are you anchored to Jesus Christ in faith? Do you know Him as Savior? If not, we encourage you to put your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, then be baptized by immersion. If we can help you with your decision for Christ, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this program, please write to us. You may request program number 2319. That's 2319. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.